Okay, let's unpack this. We've just gone through a huge stack of sources, really taking the pulse of the Arlington and Mansfield area as we head into 2026. And what jumps out immediately is this community that's bracing for a year of just unprecedented global attention.
Right, but it's anchored by this really strong local focus, and I found this surprising, this quiet civic commitment.
That's the tension, isn't it?
It is. That's what makes this deep dive so interesting. You've got the collision of these, multi-billion dollar international events. And right alongside it, you have these incredibly small local acts of, city management, philanthropy, even medical breakthroughs.
So our goal today is to cut through all that noise and really get to the heart of it.
Yep. We're focusing on three main themes. First, this coming year of global visibility and all the logistics that go with it. Second, the sort of foundational strength that's built by local leaders and organizations.
And finally, we've got some genuinely surprising updates in, of all things, regional health and local history.
Yeah, really fascinating stuff.
So let's start with the biggest story. 2026 is without a doubt a milestone year for Arlington.
Huge.
It's the city's 150th anniversary. It's sesquicentennial. That's a massive local moment in itself.
It is. But that local pride is about to be, maybe amplified, maybe even overshadowed by two events that are going to put the entertainment district on the world map.
Literally the world map.
Absolutely. And we're not just talking about another concert or a football game. We are talking first, high-octane motorsports.
Get this. They are launching the inaugural Java House Grand Prix of Arlington.
March 13th to the 15th. This is IndyY Car Racing, and it is a massive statement.
And the key thing here is this isn't some purpose-built track out in the middle of nowhere.
No.
They are transforming the public roads,
yeah,
the actual streets,
yeah,
of the entertainment districts.
Exactly. The sources detail this really daunting engineering feat. A temporary 2.73-mile circuit with 14 turns.
Wow.
And this isn't just a parade lap. Cars are expected to top 180 miles an hour.
Winding past the stadiums.
Right past the landmarks. It's this huge partnership between Penske Entertainment, the owners of IndyY Car, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Texas Rangers. It just immediately changes the city's profile.
And if that wasn't enough to secure global recognition, the moment that race is over, all attention pivots to the single biggest sporting event in the world.
The FIFA World Cup.
And Arlington, specifically, AT&T Stadium,
yeah,
is hosting 9 matches. 9. That is the most of any city in all of North America.
And the schedule is just phenomenal. This isn't just filler group stage games.
No.
We're talking huge international draws. You've got Netherlands versus Japan, England against Croatia, Argentina versus Austria. But the real weight, the real prize comes later.
What are they getting?
They're hosting 2 round of 32 matches, a round of 16, and then a semifinal match on July 14th.
A semifinal. That is just monumental global attention.
It is.
But that attention comes with a, let's call it a headache, that our sources really highlighted. It's a point of local frustration.
The name of the stadium.
Exactly. FIFA rules, no corporate sponsors for stadium names. So AT&T Stadium has to be temporarily renamed.
And it's being renamed for the host city, which is technically Dallas.
So for a month, the world will know it as Dallas Stadium.
Yeah, and that's the consequence of playing on this kind of international stage. But it brings up a critical question, right? You've got this massive economic impact. They're projecting 3.8 million visitors, maybe over $2 billion.
Which is fantastic.
Of course. But isn't there a risk that having the world see Dallas Stadium over and over again sort of diminishes the identity boost for Arlington itself?
I think that risk is very real. The sources, they really emphasize that while FIFA, the state, and federal funds will probably cover most of the event costs, that identity recognition is, it's a softer thing to measure.
Yeah.
Are they really getting the maximum credit for hosting the maximum number of matches? It's debatable when your city's name isn't on the building.
And beyond the name, you just have to look at the sheer logistics, the scale of the disruption.
It's a stress test.
It's a true stress test for the city. The sources point out that just the prep for the IndyY Car race repaving streets, installing all those safety barriers, building the temporary pits, that alone is going to cause huge traffic delays for weeks.
And then, just when everyone can finally breathe a sigh of relief in, what, late March?
Right.
They have to get ready and do it all again, but bigger, for the World Cup in June and July. You're basically turning a huge part of the city into a high-security international zone for months on end.
You can just imagine locals thinking, you know, I better get my groceries now because I'm not going anywhere near the entertainment district until August.
It's a fair thought. The success of 2026 really comes down to public patience and just incredible planning by the city's logistics teams.
It's a massive economic win, but it demands a huge amount of local sacrifice. Especially with traffic.
Okay, so it's easy to get lost in those billion-dollar numbers.
Yeah.
Let's transition now. Let's talk about the smaller but maybe more impactful stories of community commitment that really form the bedrock of this place.
I think that's a great idea. And you see that commitment right away when you look at the Arlington Independent School District, the A's leadership.
And these are volunteers.
They are. The sources are clear that the seven members of the A's Board of Trustees, people like the president, Justin Chapa, Melody Fowler, Larry Mike, they are unpaid volunteers.
But the job is anything but a volunteer position.
Oh, not at all. The commitment looks much more like a full-time executive role. Countless hours of planning, reviewing data, community meetings.
And they've set a very clear strategic course, five core priorities.
Right. Academic growth, culture, safety and discipline, marketing and engagement, and talent and resources.
Okay, so just listing them doesn't really do it justice. Why marketing and engagement? Why is that a core priority right next to academic growth? What does that signal to you?
That's the real insight there. It signals that in this incredibly competitive metroplex, the district is actively fighting for its reputation and for recruitment.
It's a business strategy almost.
It is. Investing in marketing isn't just fluff to boost an image. It's a necessary tool to attract and keep both students and top-tier teachers. You know, with all the demographic shifts and school choice competition, they know they need strong PR to maintain enrollment and funding.
And beyond the official municipal side of things, we saw this wonderful theme of quiet, very targeted generosity.
The story of Marvin and Raquel Sutton is really something.
Tell us about it.
So Marvin is a retired city council member, and every year he and his wife give $500 Kroger gift cards to staff at Title I schools.
So schools with the highest need.
Exactly. And it's more than just charity. He's very clear about the dual purpose. One, you're patronizing a local store, keeping dollars local. And two, you're providing direct food access for students, for their families, or maybe just helping a teacher who's spending their own money on supplies.
Which happens all the time.
All the time. So they visit campuses like Seguin, Bowie, Timberview, all designated high-need schools. It's this quiet way of boosting morale and recognizing a financial stress that often gets overlooked.
And you see that same kind of deep-rooted civic engagement, maybe on a larger scale, with people like Chad and Joy Bates from Legacy Financial.
They really represent deep local expertise. Their careers are basically woven into the financial fabric of this community.
Chad's been in banking since the 70s.
Since 1979. And Joy started her mortgage career in 1999. Their knowledge isn't general, it's super specialized. They cover complex stuff, FHA loans, which are crucial for first-time buyers, VA loans for veterans, even things like reverse mortgages.
But their philanthropy, that's what really stands out.
It really defines their legacy. Chad created this fundraiser, Dancing with the Arlington Stars.
I've heard of that.
It's netted over $540,000 for local charities over the years.
And their commitment to education is just as strong.
Remarkable. They co-founded Education Celebration with Six Flags, and that event has netted over $1.5 million for the ACE Education Foundation.
And that money goes where?
Directly into classroom grants. It gives teachers the actual resources they need to innovate and try new things.
So their impact is, I mean, it's literally built into the city.
It is. Chad actually mentions that one of his proudest public service achievements was co-chairing the A's bond package that built the state-of-the-art career tech center and the natatorium.
Those are huge assets.
They are. These facilities are designed to serve thousands of kids, preparing them for the workforce, promoting healthy lives for generations to come.
So if you connect all these threads, the Suttons, the Bates, the school board, back to those global events we were talking about, it's these deeply rooted people and organizations that create the foundation that lets the community absorb a shock like the World Cup. I mean, look at Hope Tutoring. They've been around for three decades.
Hope Tutoring is a perfect example of how a community builds this kind of resilience. They use a really sophisticated funding strategy.
It's not just bake sales.
No, not at all. They rely heavily on volunteer time, of course, but their financial survival depends on a really diversified funding stack. The sources show their funds are split three ways. A third comes from the city's Community Development Block grant. That's a complex federal grant. A third comes from a large anonymous individual donor. And the rest is from various other grants and community donations.
That's a highly sophisticated model. It's public, it's private.
It shows real maturity. And there's another layer. Good Shepherd Methodist Church gives them their space rent-free. That saves them about $6,000 a year. It's a genuine village mentality.
That focus on innovation and quality of life, it's not just civic. It's also fueling innovation in healthcare.
Right here in the region.
Let's shift gears completely. Let's talk about a medical innovation. We hear the acronym BPH all the time. For those of us who aren't familiar, what is it and when should men be concerned?
So BPH stands for benign prostatic hyperplasia. In simple terms, it's the very common non-cancerous enlargement of the prostate gland as men get older.
And the symptoms?
Most men live with them way longer than they need to. It starts subtly, you know, waking up once or twice a night or feeling a stronger urge to go. The red flag, the time to seek treatment, is when it really starts to interfere with your life. You know, disrupted sleep every single night, planning your whole day around where the next bathroom is.
And one of the newer treatments our sources highlight is prostate artery embolization, or PAE. How is that different from traditional treatments?
PAE is a real game changer. It's a minimally invasive outpatient procedure, usually done by an interventional radiologist. The mechanism it's really elegant. The doctor uses a catheter to get to the tiny arteries that feed the prostate.
Okay.
And injects these microscopic particles to reduce the blood flow.
So you're not cutting tissue, you're just shrinking the prostate by reducing its blood supply.
Precisely. Unlike the traditional procedures that involve, you know, cutting or removing tissue through the urinary tract, PAE is a completely external approach. The gland just gradually shrinks over time. You avoid the big surgical risks, the hospital stay, the long recovery.
And the results? Are they long-lasting?
The studies are overwhelmingly positive. The long-term data shows that over 70% of men are still doing well 5 years after the procedure with no need for more interventions.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Specialists like Dr. Brian Wong, who's done over 1,000 of these, say patients report life-changing benefits, you know, just being able to sleep through the night again.
That is the definition of a quality of life improvement.
Yep.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. Let's jump from 21st century medicine to a really remarkable piece of naval history involving a Medal of Honor recipient named William Batters.
This story is fantastic. Batters' early life, I mean, he was about as far from the ocean as you can get.
Born in Illinois, grew up in Indiana.
Right. And yet he enlists in the Navy in 1918. He ends up working in the highly dangerous world of deep sea salvage aboard the USS Falcon. And this was at a critical time, right after the Navy had basically gutted its dive training programs.
And those disastrous sinkings in the 1920s, the USS S-51 and S-4, that was the wake-up call that forced them to get serious about diver training and rescue tech.
They were the inflection points that really created the modern Navy diver. And Batters became a pioneer. He graduated in the very first class of the new Naval School for Diving and Salvage in 1928, and he was instrumental in developing things like the McCann Rescue Chamber.
Which brings us to his Medal of Honor moment, the sinking of the USS Squalus in 1939.
Right, off the coast of New Hampshire. The Squalus sinking was this huge tragedy, but it was also a test of courage and this brand new technology.
So what did Batters do?
Batters, using that rescue chamber, he realized that based on his experience, he could push its limits. The chamber was designed for 7 men, but he figured out how to safely fit 9. He personally oversaw the rescue of 18 survivors that way.
But his final descent was the real defining moment.
Absolutely. His last and most dangerous job was to go down to the flooded aft compartment at a crushing depth of 240 feet to check for any other survivors. In the pitch black, under immense pressure, knowing that if anything went wrong, no one could follow him down to help. It was just extraordinary personal risk-taking. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for it in 1940.
The kind of audacious determination, it really seems to define the spirit of this whole region we're talking about. So let's bring it back to today. Let's look at the municipal updates and livability, especially comparing Arlington and Mansfield.
The contrast is a great way to see how targeted investment pays off.
Hmm.
U.S. News and World Report just ranked Mansfield as the 6th best place to move to in Texas.
6th in the entire state.
Yep. They got really high marks for healthcare and education. Arlington, by contrast, came in at number 37.
And the renovation of Catherine Rose Memorial Park in Mansfield seems like a perfect example of their strategy.
It is. It was a $7 million renovation funded by sales tax and federal ARPA funds. It's designed to be this inclusive destination park.
What makes it inclusive?
It's got over 100,000 square feet of adaptive play space, and get this, a communication board right at the entrance for children who have verbal challenges. That shows a really deep commitment to making sure everyone benefits from public money.
And Arlington is focusing on accessibility too, though it sounds like they're maybe catching up on some of the infrastructure.
Yeah, their Public Works Department just launched this Arlington Public Access Survey. It's designed to get really specific feedback for their ADA transition plan and to build the city's first ever sidewalk master plan.
So they're asking residents, show us exactly where the barriers are.
Exactly. And that kind of transparency is reflected in their city app. The Ask Arlington app has seen almost 20,000 downloads and logged over 10,000 service requests last year.
Which shows people are actually using it.
They're engaging with the city.
So what are they most concerned with? What are the top requests?
The data is really clear. It's the mundane but impactful stuff. Overgrown weeds and grass, abandoned vehicles, and missed garbage collection. It shows that even when you're gearing up for the World Cup, quality of life depends on getting the basics right.
And just quickly, we should also mention the continued investment in cultural amenities.
Sure.
The Arlington Public Library got a grant for new read-along ebooks.
Yeah, to support early literacy. And they're upgrading their Northeast branch for better accessibility, too. All of this just points to a community that's investing outward for global recognition and inward to strengthen its own foundation for its residents.
So if you step back and look at everything we've unpacked, we started with the community staring down its biggest year ever. The 150th anniversary of the World Cup INDY car. And what we found is that its momentum is actually built on this deeply rooted sense of service. From quietly helping teachers to financing key city projects, all while embracing forward-thinking medicine and infrastructure.
That really is the core takeaway, the contrast between the, immense, complex, multi-billion-dollar global spotlight of the World Cup. And the small, quiet, persistent acts of local investment, the gift cards, the inclusive playground, the willingness of one man to dive 240 feet. It's striking.
It shows that success on a macro scale really depends on success at the micro level.
It does.
It really makes you rethink what drives a city's future. And given some of those historical anecdotes we found, especially about the River Legacy Nature Center, where private citizens had to personally raise $5 million after city leaders said they just didn't have the money, it raises a fundamental question for you to think about.
It does. And the question is this: how much of a modern city's defining legacy is forged not by grand government plans or corporate sponsorships, but by the audacious personal ye of little faith determination of its own citizens who just step up and fill the gaps when public funds fall short? That seems to be what truly moves the needle forward.